him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray now that you be with us. The Lord, you just do your work through your word, that Father, we may hear, we may understand, and that Lord, through the preaching of this passage of scripture, we may develop a closer walk and a closer relationship with you. We pray for this man here with cancer, the Lord, you remove that from him, and that Lord, you be with all those that we have lifted up in our prayer request list. And Lord, be with us as we enter into the final week heading up to our conference. The Lord, you give us strong wills, strong backs, strong minds, that your will may be accomplished in a mighty way through it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Join me back in verse 1 of our text, chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he sought please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You can tell a lot about a person's relationship with God in how often they pray and what manner of prayer they have. Now, again, it is not ours to sit there in judgment of each other. Well, I think you pray this much. I think you pray that much. The bigger point here is, what kind of a relationship do you have with God? I was meeting some people that I had not seen in a very long time. One of them I had not seen since I was a boy is Brother Bob Jones. You guys know him. Went up and I, "Hey, how are you, Brother Jones? It's so good to hear you." He gave the eulogy yesterday at Brother Francis' homegoing memorial. I tell you what, I went over there, I shook his hand, I had to explain to him who I was. He goes, "Oh, yes, yes, I think I remember you. How are things with you? Good. How are things with you? Do you have a..." We went through all the niceties, right? All those beginning things that you have when you've just barely got a relationship with somebody. Then there's other people in the room. They're people that I knew back at Flat Rock. "Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Love you. Man, how's everything? How's your kids doing?" And we talked like good old friends do. But I tell you what, when I go home and I walk through the door, that's a different relationship. There is no, "Hey, how have you been?" There is no, "How are the kids?" Why? Because it's our kids, isn't it? When I'm talking to my wife, it's a different conversation. Why? Because of closeness. There are people you barely see. You don't have that closeness. There are people that you see ever so often. You have a form of closeness, but you still have to go through the welcoming ceremonies every time you see them. "Oh, so good to see you. How are you?" "Great, great. Well, how's work going?" "Fantastic." We go through all the rigmarole. And then there are people that we get close to, and we just walk in, and here we are. We have that conversation. We can talk, and there's that freedom. It's like the relationship never hits pause. Right? I feel like that with some of the people at Flat Rock. I see them, "How are you?" And I hit pause, and I come back up here, and then I probably won't talk to them again until I see them again later. Right, and then there are those that I'm continuously in conversation with. When we look at the phrase "praying ceaselessly," when we look at what they were doing here as a church, it was talking to God with the utmost of closeness. There was no goodbye. There was no hitting pause on the relationship as sometimes we are prone to do. It was the ability to sit there and without stopping, somebody in the building, somebody in the church was talking to God about poor Peter. Now, we look at the circumstances here, and it almost seems like a byproduct, like we whiz right by the death of James. Was James not in almost every important thing that ever happened in the life of Jesus Christ? Was he not one of the people? He was one of the sons of thunder. We call him that. He's got a nickname among us, right? And here we see his death. They were hurting. When they were hurting the most. And all of a sudden, Herod gets this and he kills James and he sees all the people are excited about it. They're all happy about it. He goes, "All right, well, I tell you what, none of this stuff with John the Baptist where I'm afraid. They love me killing James. Let me get that loudmouth Peter over here." And he got him.
They were in dire straits. They had a lot to be concerned about. Here it is. He killed one. He's taken another. And he's taken a liking to the whole process. It was a very scary thing.
In our lives, there will be things that are amazing. There will be scary things. There will be things that fill us with doubt. All of them can only be addressed by going to the Father in conversation.
Churches across the world have the same problems.
Yesterday, it was my pleasure to attend the memorial service for Brother Artis France. He was an amazing preacher and a phenomenal man.
This last Wednesday, Brother Raul Bergman also graduated up to glory. He had a stroke. They airlifted him off, put him on life support. The family had to make the decision to take him off. He was one of the first preachers that asked me to come preach for him. He had a very foundational impact on my ministry. And it hurts me so that I let so much time go by without talking to him. He moved on from the church down in Toledo. And I kind of lost track of him after that. But I tell you what, we are losing a lot of great people. A lot of great people we're losing. And you know what? We've got wars. We've got strifes. We've got cancers and illnesses. We've got things that vex every single last one of us and things that vex our families and those around us. And what we need is conversation with God. The book of Acts, there's hardly a page without some reference to prayer. It seems the apostles and the early church Christians prayed in every situation, and you see so often where God either answered their prayers or sustained them through the trouble. Acts 1 verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And I could go on and on and on. Prayer should be as normal to the Christian life as breathing. And fervent, regular, important, and intercessory prayer should always be normality for us. So the questions we've got to look at this morning is, what would your life be like if you spent more one-on-one time with God? What would your problems look like? What would your reactions to those problems look like? If again, we had a ceaseless prayer life with God, how strong of a person, how strong of a Christian would you be? What we want to see first, point number one, is that prayer is to be made. Prayer is to be, we got to pray. And you know what? We look at that word pray, it's become so out of focus, it's become so hyper-spiritualized that we forget that it's just a simple conversation between us and God. And yes, in those times, we bring up our cares, we bring up our concerns, we ask God to give us grace for the things that absolutely, positively cannot change, because I tell you what, God's not going to say yes to everything we ask. We'll want Him to, but we won't. There's just some things that cannot happen. A person cannot live forever. We cannot avoid bad things in a cursed earth. We can't skip past what living on this planet does. But I tell you what, we get a lot of comfort going to Him. There's a lot of pain that we may face, that we get a lot of comfort in going to God, and sometimes that is His answer. I can't take this away. He couldn't even do it for His own Son as He sat there and prayed, Lord, if it be Your will, take this cup from me. The answer was still no. But in there was great comfort as the response. Prayer must be made. Now again, if we have a conversation just because it's a scheduled conversation, I think it's cheapened, but we've got to set blocks of time aside to say, at this time I will show respect and I will show my face before God and I will talk to Him. And I will bring up my concerns and I will bring up my hurts and I will bring up the exciting things and I will talk to Him about the mundane things and we will talk as one child to their father. In this passage, we see people who are under a lot of hurt. They're under a lot of fear. This was scary times. And in many ways, we could enumerate all the scary things in our lives, all the scary things we see on the news. We sit there and say, hey, if ever there was a time we needed God's direction, it's now. We need to be able to do it. Not say it, not agree that it's important, but do it. When we are hurt, he'll give us comfort. He'll give us direction. What would be God's advice in this situation as they went and they ceaselessly prayed? Well, his answer was this, verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. There was never a situation more dire than this. There was never a harder escape ever needed than this. This is a Houdini-level event. What happens in verse 7? Well, we read it. Light shines in. The shackles fall off. Verse 8, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. We read on as he goes home and he goes back to where they're meeting together. And they're so startled that they don't even believe it's him at the door. They say, oh, he must have died. Maybe that's a spirit. Maybe that's a messenger. Who knows? But that cannot be Peter. Why do we pray like we're not going to get an answer? Just because the answer's no and wait are on the table, why do we pray like we don't think he's going to answer? I know we do. Because I know the same flesh that affects me affects you. We both got to have it. Well, we've prayed once or twice for a thing. We're like, yeah, you know what? There's nothing God's going to do here. Might as well just... No. We pray in faith. Because there's nothing that God cannot do. What mountains, what shackles, what prison cells are we in that we ask God to deliver us from, but even as the prayer is on our lips, we have no faith that anything will ever come of it. He'll give us direction. What is my direction when I hit the waters? What is my direction when the storm happens? What is my direction when the wars start and the battles happen? What direction does God give me? Number one, you come to me and you talk to me. Communication. We live in a world where it's so easy for us to not communicate, so easy for us to turn off the phone, so easy for us to stare at other things, when what we really could do is just cross the street and have a conversation with our neighbor. When what we really could do is we could just lift our hands up and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling and I could use some help. Right? There'll be moments in each and every one of our lives where everyone can see we're struggling. And we'll still sit there when somebody comes by, oh no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just let me wallow in the jail cell. Let me stay with the chains on my arms. Let me have it. Because I don't believe there's any deliverance other than this for me. We need to follow the directions. Pop a hand up. Have a conversation. Right? Follow after in faith. Do what it is that God has called you to do in your regular everyday lives. Right? What is my response to mourning? Well, what is it that David did in his reaction to mourning? He got up, he washed himself, he cared for his physical needs, kept going. But we don't pretend that it's not there. We got to do stuff. We go to God and he gives us the direction for how to do the things that need to be done. And I tell you what, he'll give you the aid that you need to get through it. Because I tell you what, wouldn't it just be easy if all we needed in life was comfort and direction? That'd be so easy, wouldn't it? Just tell me how to fix it. Tell me, pat me on the back, tell me how to fix it, and I'm good. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? We need more than that, too. Every now and then, you need fellowship. You need encouragement. You need someone to sit there and just, well, to be used as a shoulder, either to prop you up or to catch some tears. We need aid, and God can do those things. You know what? There are times we take the kids in and they get shots, right? Now, what do I do? Can I avoid them having to get the shots? Can they avoid that pain? No. But mommy and daddy can be there, can't they? We can hold them up. We can give them a cuddle. If it's Melody, we can get her ice cream. I knew he'd do that. No, we can be a comfort to him. Listen, there's some things that just can't be avoided here on earth. Could God wipe it all away? Could God make heaven right now? No, it's cursed earth, right? Bad things are going to happen. But what he can do is he can prop us up. He can give us comfort. He can give us love.
Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
He can help. He can do his... Listen, when my kids are struggling, it is my good pleasure to dive in and help them. And there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing that. As God works in you, the work that is being done, you better believe he cares for you. Sometimes you think, well, you know what? If God loved me, this bad thing would never happen. Listen, bad things are going to happen. But it is in God's interest and his love to you to give you comfort, to give you aid, to repair you where you're broken, to put the things back together. That is what God does. But yet, what is our natural inclination? Our natural inclination is to push God away and say, no, push everybody away. Let me feel it. Let me be sad. Let me be broken. You killed James. God's going to let him take Peter. I can't handle this. I'm just going to be upset. No, they got down on their knees and they prayed. And they didn't quit. Because they knew if there was any answer coming their way, it would not be from Herod. It would not be from the Jews. It would not be from the Sanhedrin. It would not be from the Pharisees. It would not be from the people on the street. It would be from God. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You think there's a single thing that happens here on earth God can't do anything about? Now listen, there are things that won't happen, but I'll tell you this right now. If God steps into a situation, there is no no for him. There is no resistance to him. When we have need, he'll be the answer. And we need to go to him. What things do we need as a church today? Right? We think about some of the cheap things. Well, we're going to need a roof. We're going to need the lines repainted. We're going to need a lot of energy to get through this conference with all the people that say they're coming. I hope they do come. We might need some new chairs. We might need a chair rack. We list those things all day. All the things we need, we go to him for those things. We do. I thought about some of the things that I thought that we needed. Right? I thought about that chair rack idea. I thought I was pretty keen. We're going to need some chair racks, some table racks. We're going to have a good old time. And then what happened? Well, the furnace went out. So guess what? Not the Lord's will for me to get the chair racks. But aren't you glad we can take care of the furnace over there? That's boom. That's what happens. We've got needs. Some of them are small. Some of them are great. Some of them require healing for ourselves and for our relatives. We have needs. We go to him for those needs and we trust in him for those. And when there is work to do, we go to him. Lord, I know what you've called me to do in my life. I need your strength to do it. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. And how did they pray? We see here in this that prayer must be made without ceasing. And we sit there and say, how can I always be praying? Well, I tell you what, it's just like that conversation with my spouse. Do you think I text her, hi, how are you? This is Matt, making sure everything's okay. Also wondering if you needed anything from the grocery store. No, I go grocery store, question mark, done. Right? Because it's part of an ongoing conversation. When we say goodnight, night, and then where are we? Sitting right next to each other, bless her. You know, we don't have a parting. Just because we say amen, it doesn't mean it's a parting with God. He's with us. So I have that time where at any given second, I can fall into prayer with him. I can fall into a conversation with him. I can bring him back into it. We were talking about that on Friday. There are moments in my life, especially when I'm studying, where I sit there and it's almost like I'm continuously talking to him. Going, all right, I get that. I don't get that. Can you show me that? Okay, I'm going to grab this book. Maybe it's over here. And we have a conversation with him. But that also means I can't be doing something I can't have a conversation with him in. Painfully difficult to have a conversation with God in a bar, I think. Painfully difficult to have a conversation with God when I'm losing my mind out on the freeway yelling and cursing at people. It's a bit awkward, isn't it? We avoid those awkward situations so that I can always go to him. I avoid open sin in my life so that I can go to him without shame.
Prayer is to be done without ceasing, always, always able to go to him. right? Who else would I go to
when it comes down to those things? When it comes down to the big things, even the small things, who else would I go to? Yeah, you got family. Yeah, you got friends. Yeah, you got experts.
You know, I don't think I've told you about this yet, but there's a switch over here. It's not working for the fans. Now, here's what I did. I tinker. That drives him nuts. I know it does. Not even looking at him. I pulled the thing down. I got my tester on it. To me, I'm like, that's it. I've reached the end of my knowledge. Now I need an expert, right? I've reached the end of my ability, so I'm going to stop before I break it. And I'm going to go talk to someone who knows what they're doing. Brother Reynolds, he's the pastor down at 12 Ryan. He used to be a plumber, big industrial construction plumber. Like, he knows all the stuff. So I'll go to him and I'll ask him questions. Why? Because sometimes you need what? An expert. Who else am I going to go to in the matters of life but the one who created it? Who else am I going to go to when it comes down to comfort other than the master of all comforts? Who else can I trust to always be right? Who else can I go to and I know I'm going to get a square answer?
Why on earth, knowing all this, would I take too long to go to him? You ever do that? You ever been guilty of that? You did everything else. I hate that. When everything else fails, try God.
Why would you do that? Right?
Well, I tell you what, I'm sick, so I'm going to go to Google. And when Google's not there, I'm going to go to WebMD. Then I'm going to start calling all my friends and relatives. And if I can't get an answer, I'll go to my doctor. Why would we do that? Go to the doctor first. Right?
As long as he doesn't charge too much, who knows nowadays?
But no, God, we go to him first. And you know what he'll do? He'll put the answer in front of you. Sometimes it's in the form of one of those people that you know coming up to you and saying something and providing something and get you to think about something you haven't. Sometimes it's in the form of reading his word. Sometimes a sermon hits right as that problem hits your life. You ever have that?
Or what was it just happened recently? We finally took the van in to get looked at. Right? Replaced a whole bunch of stuff. Big old bill. Comes in right at the time our tax return comes in. Which, by the way, as a pastor, we pay taxes. We were not expecting to get a return this time. You know what I'm saying? It's what God does. Now, is it always like that? No. Sometimes there are those things you got to work it out a little bit. But God always provides the answer to those who go to him.
And to be continuous in that prayer, to go to him, to talk to him.
Isn't it sad when friendships fall apart? And not even on purpose. Like, we never meant to. There's no angriness. There's nothing. We just stop talking. Happens a lot. Right? But what do we want? Those people that we want our lives, we continuously talk to them. We want to have that conversation with God. We want to have an open relationship with him where we're talking and we can go to him at any moment and we're always there with him. Well, how many times do you pray? Well, there's three times specifically I set aside to go to him. But I tell you what, I need him a lot more than three times. Right? When I first started working in property management as a property manager, I had a boss over me and we'd have three meetings a day in the morning, in the afternoon, right before I left. And I tell you what I would do, every now and then I'd catch myself texting her again and again and again. Hey, what about this? Hey, did you do this? Hey, do I have to do this? How do I do this over here? Just again, keeping that conversation going. I tell you what, you can have three. You can have four times. You can have two times where you're going to God and say, these are the times I'll talk to him. But you can have short little conversations with him. There's no rule against that. As a matter of fact, it's healthy. It's what we're talking about here, to continuously be with him.
And not just that, but repeatedly. Repeatedly going to him.
Well, isn't that obnoxious? Well, I tell you what, we don't mind it in other things, do we? We had this lady at one of our sites, probably one of the only people I'm truly terrified of. Her name is Sandra Dickens Guy. Every time you talk to her, that's her name, Sandra Dickens Guy. Hello, Matt! Yes, this is Sandra Dickens Guy. How can I help you? And every time she'd be upset, she would call at 9 a.m. for a work order. Call me at 9:45 to find out where our guys are. Well, they're still doing grounds. I called you 45 minutes ago. I understand, but there's a... And she'd call back again and again and again. There was one time
Right? There was one time we had to order an appliance for her, and it was back ordered. I got to know her really well that week. Matt!
Yes?
Sandra Dickens guy!
I know.
I know. You know what I want?
I do. I do.
To the point to where if I could go throw it in the back of my van and bring it to her, I would have done it. Terrified me.
How about this? You ever order a package? There's got to be people like me out here.
You order a package, you immediately begin tracking that package. Right? I'll sit there, I'll order something. I'll get the confirmation. Hey, if you want, you can track it. You better believe it. What state is it in? Oh, wow, that's amazing. Great Plains, Colorado. That's fantastic. Never been there. I hear that's nice. I don't need that information, but we watch it. And you check it again and again and again, just every day, see where it is. Oh, it's a little bit closer. I've come to this conclusion that I could just mail a GPS tracker around the country and watch that. Probably be a lot cheaper than actually buying stuff, but... Get a kick out. We watch that stuff, don't we? Jesus even gave us a parable about a lady. She goes to a judge and she begs him again and again for an answer, again and again to avenge her. And he goes, listen, I'm so tired. I'm not afraid of gods. I'm not afraid of people. But I tell you what, if she doesn't leave me alone, I'm just going to answer this. I'm going to do it. And God goes, think about this. He calls him an unjust judge. He says, if this unjust judge will answer that way, what do you think your heavenly Father's willing to do if you come to him repeatedly? If a judge would do it just to shut you up, if I would do it just to get Sandra Dickens guy to stop calling me, what do you think God, who loves you, is willing to do when you come to him in repetition?
Now listen, boldly does not mean rudely. Don't go calling God like Sandra Dickens guy called me. Lord, I love you, trust you. Whatever you answer in this, I'll trust, I'll abide by. But Lord, I want to bring it up again. Let you know I'm serious. Let you know.
Jesus Christ himself, how many times did he go off to talk to God about the sacrifice he came down to earth to commit? He knew he was going to die on the cross. How many times that night did he go off to pray concerning that matter? Three times. Three. You think God's okay with you going to him more than once? You think God's okay with you just affirming your desire more than once? It is the example that we see through Jesus Christ to continue to go to him. Point number three, our last point. If we want to see great things, we have to talk to God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Right now, what's that saying here is this, is I am not the best dad. I'm not. But if my kid asks for bread, I'm not going to give him a serpent. Dad, I'm hungry. Here's a rattler. Go play with it. God says, listen, with you and all of your sin and all your faults, if you're taking care of your kids, what makes you think I won't? Now listen, these things that are being asked for are needs. They are. If I get down on my knees today and I beg the Lord for $1 million and I keep that up for the rest of my life, do not be surprised if I do not end up with $1 million. Or if $1 million would even be worth it for any much longer. Might get you a tank of gas in this economy. Listen, some things, though, they don't happen because we don't ask. Some things do not change in our lives because we do not go to God for them. And some, they don't see a change. They don't get to see the Lord work because they're not even paying attention enough to ask. Right? Oh, this bad thing happened. What am I going to do? Well, I guess that's just the way it is. Have you ever stopped to consider asking God to help? To fix it? Yeah, I know. I know what that after that, if there's grief, if there's mourning, if there's sickness, I tell you what, there's going to be times where you just think, well, that's just it. That's the end of the story. But have we ever considered going to God to seeing what change He could make in our heart? Or going to the Lord to see what change He could make in our lives? What change He can make in the lives of others? Because again, I reiterate, perhaps the reason why we do not see change is because we've never made it known to our Heavenly Father that we even care. That we honestly think He can do anything about it. Right? That old phrase, well, it is what it is. Right? It is. It could be so much more. It's what takes a thing that could never have changed and turns it into something that changed anyway. It takes something that hurt you and turns it into a growing moment when we go to Him. Things change. They hit a different light when we go to God. But many of us, or some of us, perhaps, just doesn't dawn on us to ask. And some, we don't see the Lord work because we lack faith. We no longer believe that in today's day and age, God can hold any sway. Breaks my heart when I hear preachers preach like that. Well, it's the end days and nothing's ever going to change and we might as well just start boarding up the windows. Why? Last thing I heard, I'm still here. There are still God's people here. We're still here to do stuff. There are still people out there with needs. There's still things we can be doing. Why quit? Right? I think that's another thing we talked about on Friday, the good old days syndrome. Well, it's not like it was in the good old days. You know what? Today is somebody's good old days. It may not be yours. No, yeah, can we get away from the idea that everything was good, golden, and wonderful? You want to know why we get golden days? Because you've gotten to the point where you've forgotten the bad that was happening at the same time. Am I right? Those people out there, oh, I love you. Not people, but women out there. I love being pregnant. Labor doesn't bother me. You must have forgotten. I've never gone through it, and the whole thing scares me. All right, I had a first row seat. I wasn't in the chair. I was just there watching it. I'm like, no, thank you. Right, we forget the bad, and all of a sudden, oh, it's the golden days. It's the good old days. Oh, how wonderful they were. No, they were awful then too. There was bad. There was bad news, there was prayer requests out of control, things were bad then. The thing is that you've put so much time between here and then, all you remember is the good. And in 20 years, if the Lord gives you 20 years, 19 for is what I made you promise, right? Lord gives you that time, you'll forget about all the bad times from today too. You will. It's just what we do. We pray that the Lord affects change. We trust in Him. Right? Well, brother, yeah, I don't know. I've seen some rough stuff. I'm sure you have. Many people have seen some just obliteratingly bad things. But we still trust in the Lord. We still have faith. We'll never see blessings from the Lord if we don't pray. If we never take the time to say, Lord, please give. Lord, please administer. Lord, please help. We'll never see it. Yeah, there'll be a working of His will. Yeah, there'll just be things that happen naturally. Yeah, there'll be things where He sits and goes, well, you didn't think to give it for to ask me for it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. But I tell you what, you'll see it a whole lot more if you've got a mind to go to Him and ask Him for it. All right, not to pick on my kids, but every now and then I've got one that'll come over and stare at me, and I got to guess what he wants. And I know what's going on. If I ask, he'll say no. I got to find a creative way to ask. And while he's working on that creative way to ask, it's just, what? No, we need to ask. We need to have, how is it we're supposed to come before the throne? Boldly. Lord, so-and-so is sick. And Lord, I trust your will. I know you're going to do what you do. But Father, I just ask that you heal him. Lord, so-and-so needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. They need salvation. Lord, so-and-so, they need the strength to change this in their lives. They're addicted to this and they need to break it. We need to be able to go to Him and ask specifically, this is what we would like. This is what's needed. And we talk about that, the three answers that God gives. The three answers. All concerning God's will in our lives. right? When God says yes, right? I ask God for something. Lord, please save so-and-so. Lord, please heal so-and-so. And he answers it, right? Right? That's him announcing his will. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what. And isn't it fun when he says yes? Right? When we can sit there and we can mark another thing off of our prayer request list. I tell you what, sister, I did that just recently with Mike. Greenland. Been praying for that cancer to go away. Cancer's gone away. Boom. Now I changed it that it stays away. But isn't that nice? Yeah. I don't have to wonder anymore if it's the Lord's will, whether or not he's going to heal her. It's done. Boom. Right? Now what do? I take that same attitude and I apply it to the rest of those things. Lord, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you to answer this, to see exactly what your will is, to see exactly what you're going to do. In saying yes, he tells me what his will is, and I can sit there and say, oh yeah, perfect, that's easy. We love yes, don't we? I love yes. Yes is great. Yes lights up my day. Yes makes me excited. It gets me really fervent in that prayer. Lord, thank you. This is wonderful. Now I know exactly. Thank you. However, in saying no, he clarifies his will. Lord, please heal me. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, that's not going to happen. You know what? Maybe in the progression of things, that person passes on. Right? Lord, please let this happen in my career. Let this happen in my finances. Let this happen. And you get up to the point and you realize that the answer was no. It's just not going to happen. To there, he sits there and he clarifies, that's not the way the story ends. It's got to end this way. And it may hurt and it may upset us and it may break our hearts to hear the things didn't go our way. But in there, we see what must be. We see what must be. Then there's that third answer, the more infuriating answer, the answer we never liked as children, and the answer we like even less as adults, especially when it comes from God, right? We love yes, we hate no. But we're never more irritated than when we hear the word wait. Now again, God does not audibly tell us to wait. We just know it's wait because the answer is not here yet. Is it yes? Is it no? Please tell me. Wait. I've got one of those going right now. We got brand new things for camp in. I got to put that out. I'm waiting for other churches to say we're coming. And I'm praying. Because you know what we need? We need 100 people. If I have less than 75, we got to cancel it. Can't do it. Got to pay for at least 100. Right? I think it's like $13,000 or something like that. It's insane. You know where I'm at right now with it? I'm at wait. And I made a deal with the guy who runs the camp. I said, at this point, if I don't have the numbers, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to tell you that the answer was no. I'm 3 weeks away from the goal that I set with him. It's a hard 3 weeks to wait. And during that waiting, what do I do? During that waiting, I realize that what he's doing is he's preparing me for his will. So what am I doing? I'm calling churches, and I'm calling pastors, and I'm getting these things out there. And I'm saying, hey, listen, I really think that this is beneficial. Get a bunch of people away from the internet for a week. Get a bunch of people away from the gas prices for a little bit. Get a bunch of people out in the sunshine of Kentucky. Get a bunch of people under some preaching. Get a bunch of people out there under some education, some fellowship, and some fun. I think that's a beneficial thing. Lord, this is what I want to do. And here's my opportunity to do it. And what am I sitting at? Wait. You know what? I don't know if you know this about me. You might have picked up. I'm not a very patient person. I'm not a very wait still kind of a person. And that's why I'm glad that we don't have to sit still when God says wait. Right? Now, I can't do anything with it until he says yes or no. But there's a lot that I can do in the wait. I can be a pastor. We've also got this Bible conference thing going on to keep my attention, right? We've got tons of other chores and duties and jobs. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a lot of things that I've got to be during the wait. And I don't let the wait drive me nuts. There are people we've been praying for your health for years. And we're at wait. Wait's no fun. There are many of you, you're dealing with grief and sorrow and hurt, and yet you're asking for the Lord to deal with your heart. You're asking for the Lord to help heal, and guess what? You're in wait. Wait is awful, but it's beneficial. It strengthens us. It builds us. Without wait, there is no patience. And I tell you what, it's not even the purpose of the waiting, right? Things happen in their own accordance of time, right? I don't want it to be July yet. I don't want it to be mid-April yet. I'm going to miss a lot of stuff if I just try to bypass it all. Right? When you're sitting there waiting for your health, you're sitting there waiting for healing, you're sitting there waiting for so-and-so to come back around, and you're waiting for this person to get their stuff together, and you're waiting for God to give you strength to beat this sin. While we're waiting, be doing stuff. Do all the things you're supposed to be doing. In preparation. In strength. There's a lot of growth that happens in the wait. We've got to be able to recognize that and respect it. But all the while, we do this. We go to Him. We trust in Him. We have a heart that is turned to Him. And I mention this so often, and I'm not going to stop because it's valuable. When we think about prayer as simple religious activity, it falls flat. It does. Give me this, give me that, forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And what happens when we go to bed? Oh, that helped me make it through the night. Give me this, give me that, forgive me of my sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, 8:30, better get over there. You could be doing it for hours, you could be praying for hours a day, and it still fall flat because there's no relationship. There must be a closeness. What would happen at the conference if we as individuals poured our hearts out to God, that He would revive people, that He would save people, and that we would be built together closer as a church? What would happen? What would happen if in our prayer times together, right, our prayer bands, if we put our hearts and our souls in that conversation? Not just, well, this and that, and this and that, and we're supposed to bring up the this and the that, don't get me wrong. But if we go to Him as though we think He can actually do something about it. There was that sermon that I can't remember if it was Brother Titus who preached it, but they preached on prayer. It might have been Brother Farmer. Preached on prayer at the Flat Rock Conference. And I think about our prayer band. You know our prayer band thing that we do? We get together, we pray. I think that's an amazing thing. But I think if we do it with the wrong heart, it becomes a non-effective thing. An non-effective thing. Right? And I've caught myself doing that. Right? I would say I'm sorry for that. We'll be back there with the men, and I'll bring up business that needs to be done around the church. Chores that need to happen. And we'll talk about that for 10 minutes. At my direction, by the way, the pastor, who's supposed to have it together, we'll talk about the direction we ought to be doing with this or that. And then we'll spend 5 minutes praying. All right, you, let's pray. Is that the purpose? Y'all remember why you started doing that, right? Y'all started doing that before I got here. It was one of the things that impressed me the most when I got here. Right? It was a little awkward because the reason why you were doing it is you were praying for a pastor and I was coming to visit, and then you are praying for the pastor and I'm there I am going, oh, wow, yeah, absolutely. I pray the Lord gives him a good pastor. Didn't know it'd be me. I kind of wanted it to be me though a lot though. I was like, I know it, man. You go to some churches and you're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I pray the Lord gives you a pastor. And then me, I'm like, yeah, Lord, give him a pastor. And if you don't mind, let it be me. Why did you do that? You had a need. Now we've got dozens of needs we bring up in there. Dozens. And you always have. You didn't change it. It's always been about the whole church. But is the heart the same? Do I value being there? Do I value the conversation? Because it is us as a group. It is us as a family coming together, bringing our cares to God, saying, Lord, help us. Lord, show us and comfort us and tell us and heal us. And whatever it is you got to do, that's what we're asking for. That's something different. What would happen in our lives if we gave our hearts to God the way we did when we were first saved? If we desired the same closeness with Him that we desired when we first started off. As the Bible says, we ought to pray that the Lord return to us the joy of our salvation. What's the joy of your salvation? I know who the joy of my salvation is. Salvation's great. The idea that because Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins, I don't have to go to hell, but now I have an eternity in heaven, not by my merit, not by anything good of me, but by his love and mercy and sacrifice. That's beautiful. I'd love to go to heaven. That's fantastic. I love that. I'd hate to have to go to hell. I know that's probably what I deserve, but it's not what I'm... That's fantastic. That's not the joy of my salvation. There's something bigger on the table. Right? The fact that I can have forgiveness, that's amazing, that's wonderful. Because you tell you what, shame is a horrible thing to live with. Guilt is a horrible thing to live with. Eats you up, tears you apart, rips you to pieces. Right? Affects how you see yourself, affects how others see you. Shame and guilt's a horrible thing. I absolutely love that I am forgiven. All I've got to do is stay away from those things. I love that. That's easy. Just don't do the things. Easy. The joy of my salvation is Jesus Christ. That he cares for me, loves me, gave what he gave for me, and that at a moment's notice, I can get down on my knees and I can go to him. We don't have the kind of salvation where you've got to come to me if you want to talk to God. Wouldn't that be awful? Hey, brother, this is what's going on. I absolutely need you to talk to the Lord today. And then you call me back later. Hey, man, it's Sandra Dickens' guy. Didn't you talk to the Lord today about my concerns? Where's he at? No. You get up in the morning, you pray. Right? There's one mediator between God and man, right? And who is that? That's the joy of our salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to him. And I bring up my cares and my concerns. And he hears me. So you know what? Whether we hear yes, and we can rejoice, we hear no, we must ask for grace, or whether we're in that waiting period where we must continue to work while we wait. We know that we can trust in God. And no, it's not a matter of that I can trust in God because I know he's going to give me everything I want. I know that when I go to God, he's going to give me exactly what I need. You know what kids would eat if you let them? You do because you were a kid. Right? Hey, what do you guys want for breakfast? Ice cream? Cake? Right? Can you just bring that bowl of candy down here? That's what they'd want. You know, sometimes we gotta say no. Right? Well, I don't want to go to school. I appreciate that. But you gotta go to school. You got to. I don't wanna have a shot. I don't wanna go to the doctor. I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want to get punished, I don't want this thing, I don't want that thing. If we only ever had just exactly what we wanted, there'd be no growth. And you know what, we live in a world where we can't guarantee what we want. Right? If God answered every prayer, we'd all live forever. You know how full the world would be. We'd never go home, we'd never go off to glory, we'd never go to heaven. We'd all be here, living forever with trillions of dollars in our bank account. We live in a cursed earth where bad things will happen and must happen. But we serve a God that can step in at his will and just fix it. Or, in the process of it, make us better and strengthen us through those things that must happen. Right? Peter, he so often fought the Lord. Right? The Lord said, well, I'm going to go and they're going to sacrifice. I'm going to be a sacrifice. They're going to kill me. Peter got so upset at that, didn't he? No, Lord, not so, Lord. That's not going to happen. Even cut off a man's ear to stop it from happening. Sometimes bad things happen in our lives and it has little to do with us and more to do about that person, and more to do about other people. And that's their moment. And that's their thing. But all the while I go to the Father gives me answers. He gives me strength. And you better believe there are things he can do about the conditions and concerns in our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.